Well, good morning and welcome to a special Thursday show. I am Tom Moulton and I'm your host and executive director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And we got one of my favorite museums. The folks have gotten up early and you're going to really enjoy the show today. And it's all about the Mini Time Machine of Miniatures, okay? And a lot of rich history on how this museum got started. It's one of those museums where we can talk about it 365 days out of the year in the sense of it's summertime and it's a place where it's a perfect 72 degrees. I think Colossal Cave is the only place that's a perfect 72 degrees all the time. And we have some really important folks. Some folks are new. Some folks have been there, I think, from the beginning. I think, Emily, right? Have you been there from the beginning? Emily, can you hear me? Okay. Well, we're first. How about any of you guys? Can you hear me okay? All right.
Okay, we're going to... Why don't you talk to Tim, and I'm going to reroute that, okay?
Okay, great. Right. So stand by, guys. Stand by. As we get our first technical difficulty taking place. And Tim, are you on the phone?
I am. Good morning, Tommy.
All right, we're waiting for the folks and they get the audio all squared away. So we thought while we're doing that, why don't you take 2 minutes and talk about those two special events or so that you want everybody to go to.
All right. Starting tonight, Discovery Nights at Children's Museum Tucson. You visit the Children's Museum Tucson for a free night of science, art, including story times, pop-up science experiments, 5 to 7 p.m. Thursdays. So a great place to go and cool off and hang out with the kids. And then a summer mainstay is back, Saguaro Sunset Night Market at Old Tucson. June 28th, so this Saturday, 6 p.m. to 9:30, and the Great Market is back. Join Old Tucson for an eclectic array of arts, crafts, food, and food vendors for a summer evening of strolling the historic Main Street and the town square. Just to support local artists, enjoying live music, tasty food and drinks. Bars and restaurants, rides and attractions will be open. And the cool part is entry and parking are free. And then we also have Tohono Chul, more chillin'. Live music, drinks, tasty eats, family fun, free admission, Fridays and Saturdays, now through August 30th. So you've got a whole weekend agenda you can plan out at no charge. So be sure to go to thisistucson.com and visit tucson.org to learn more about these events and much, much more.
All right. Hey, Timmy, thank you very much. And Matt, have we, are the ladies, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, there, we're back. So it's important to make sure you hear your guests. So thank you, Matt, in the production suite for getting the right equipment to do its thing. So we were in the process, but thank you, Tim. Tim is our co-host, by the way, and he's a former Old Tucson employee and Desert Museum and Rawhide and Biosphere and just a wonderful tourism leader in my career when I was out there actually, running an attraction or being part of an attraction. So great show going starting today. I want to introduce our three guests, I know before we started the show, they were attempting to help me pronounce their last name, so I think we'll see how I do, but first guest is, kind of brand new to the Mini Time Machine, Amanda. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Great. Fantastic. And kind of the person I've known for many, many years, Emily Wolverton, who's the museum curator. So just about, probably all the exhibits that are there, are curated and go through a process. And that's Emily Wolverton. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Nice to hear your voice. The education director, which is really important for all nonprofit organizations, and you may know after all the 2 years that we've been on the air here, that the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance is made up of predominantly nonprofit organizations. We're very lucky in Tucson and Southern Arizona that we have a lot of attractions, and I think a lot has to do with the nonprofits that are operating and managing them. And the cool thing is that every nonprofit here in the community, and there's a lot of them, there's a mission statement. So they're not only out there promoting them as an attraction, place to escape, place to make memories. They also have very important missions. And we'll hear a little bit about what the mission of the Mini Time Machine is in just a few minutes. But our third guest is in charge of the education, and that's Jamala. And good morning.
Good morning.
I should say, because I know how to pronounce your last name, Damali Jean Charles. And we're so glad that you are all here. So what we want to do is kind of get just a couple minutes, maybe, 60 seconds, about who Amanda is, and then we'll go to Emily, and then we'll go to Jamala. So, Amanda, tell us just a brief, a little bit of your background.
My background is in nonprofits, environmental, economic development, and now I'm here in the miniature art world. I come from Florida, been here about 8 months, and been in this role since February. So, brand new to the area and all things Tucson.
Great. And I had an opportunity to meet you when I was out there giving you the brand new Tucson Attractions passport. So thank you for me allowing me to interrupt your day when I was there. Emily, a little bit of your background before you joined the Mini Time Machine.
Before, I feel like I've been at the museum forever. I don't even remember my life before. I have been at the museum since 2009. I'm the curator. I've had various positions at the museum, and I'm very privileged and honored to be curator now. And happy to be here.
That's great. And just so you know, all of your images are showing up wonderfully on the Facebook Live. So again, thank you for joining us. You know, I know you wanted to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and be in studio with me. You know, the coffee's not bad. I usually bring something for the guests, but which means I'm starving today because I didn't have time and knew you guys weren't going to be in the studio. But I have my water and my coffee. Let's just, Jamali, a little bit of your background before you started at the Mini Time Machine.
Yeah, so I actually have a background in animation, and I focused on stop motion animation. So I'm super excited.
Well, that's kind of a tease what the new exhibit's going to be.
But I've been with the museum since 2017, not in this capacity.
Right.
Kind of like Emily, I've been in a different role before this one.
Yes, thank you for clarifying that. I didn't mean to imply that you're brand new just as a job, but yeah, brand new education. And a big part of the Mini Time Machine. We got 3 minutes left before we go to break. So just kind of if you're in an elevator and you got 3 minutes, tell me, I'm going to throw this back to you, Amanda, because it's really a marketing thing. Give us a 2-minute overview of what is the Mini Time Machine of miniatures.
Well, coming from out of town and not being here, born and raised in Tucson, I feel like it's just a magical place to come and be transported, right? You get to step into that beautiful rotunda, which I was blown away by when I first came here. Like, who would have guessed that was here in Tucson, you know? So just coming in and stepping into that rotunda and looking to your left and seeing the magical tree, and then you have this contemporary exhibit to your other side. I was just blown away by the fact that we had this here in Tucson, and there's just so many artists that get to be seen here and really give everybody that joy of miniatures and stepping into different realms and different scenes and being taken away to a new place. So
now, before Mini Time Machine opened up, we had to get our miniature fix over at the Hidden Valley. I think it was called that, Matt. Oh, Matt's on the phone.
Hidden Valley Inn.
Hidden yeah. Valley Inn. Thank you. And it was a kind of it was really a Western kind of setup with Western entertainment and great food and just a plethora of miniature, exhibit pieces. I think when they closed, Emily, didn't you get some of those miniature collections?
Yes, we did. And I can leave it as a tease for that because I will talk about that in some of our upcoming exhibits. But yes. We do some of the pieces from Hidden Valley Inn.
Yeah. So before, of course, hearing about the Mini Time Machine, and you guys became members of the SAAA almost immediately and had a lot of meetings over there. I had Army men, most, I think, males, and our little green Army men that the dogs love to chew up. In the morning, mm-hmm. you wake up and there'd be a big blob of green plastic, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, but the really neat people were the ones that had the little Army men made out of, I don't know if it was made out, some kind of metal, pewter or some kind of metal. And those were really neat. But you had to be careful because when you had a battle, they would bend. Whereas the plastic ones always won that battle. So. So right. we're going to be back in just a few minutes, and we have special guests today, Amanda, Emily, and Jamali, and they're from the Mini Time Machine. We'll be right back. This is The Morning Show on 10:30 a.m., the trusted local news and talk. Well, good morning again, and we're back, and this is The Morning Voice on 10:30 KVOI, 10:30 a.m., and we're talking everything miniature today. The Mini Time Museum of Miniatures has been here. I think you mentioned, Emily, was it 2000 and what was it, 2009? Okay, we're not hearing you, so let's, don't know. Oh. There you are. Okay, you're back.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. And we're also here with two other special guests, Amanda and Jamali. And Jamali's been there since 2017. And Amanda is the new kid on the block. I've been there for 8 months and learning from these wonderful folks that have been there and been through all kinds of new introductions of new miniature collections. And we were talking about, before we went on the first break, about when the Hidden Valley Inn closed, unfortunately, there was some wonderful miniature collections, and you were able, Emily, to procure them, I understand.
Some of them.
Okay.
So, yeah, and so you're thinking of Jean Leroy.
Yes.
So, yes, Jean Leroy, he was Tucson's famed woodcarver, and his daughter, Judy Leroy Siegley, and her husband Fred, they are now the caretakers of Jean Leroy's collection. And Judy learned from her father how to carve and maintain those pieces, and so she has taken care of them. And they have very graciously, generously gifted us with the Buzzard Creek Ghost Town collection. And so every year, that's one of our seasonal exhibitions. We put the Ghost Town out. That will be going out in August, August 19th through November 2nd. So we always have it out for spooky season. And it is, it's a collection of building facades of a Wild West ghost town. And so there's a saloon and a cemetery. And yeah, there's lights and sounds and animatronics, and it's one of our favorite exhibits to put out. But yeah, fortunately, it was removed from Hidden Valley before that tragic fire that happened. So that was really very incredibly fortunate.
Absolutely, and it's kind of like old Tucson and Hidden Valley had the fire within I think a week or so of each other, and of course, old Tucson lost all of its authentic costuming from. The 300 or so movies that had shot there before that. So, but they both reopened, and unfortunately, Hidden Valley. Well, now it's the Tucson Auto Museum, so it's still in the attraction family. So, Let's hear a little story about how this all came about, because it's a really interesting story of and it's amazing how AI, which I did always now that you do a little research and you always use AI, they use the word charming about the founder of Mini Time Machine. And so I'm going to let you take it from there, because she was a charming lady for sure.
Yeah, so thank you. Yes. So our museum was founded by the late Patricia and Walter Arnell. And they were charming, both of them. They were very kind. And Pat herself was very funny. Walter was heralded from England, and he had a charming English accent and wore a vest all the time and was just adorable. And they were avid collectors of miniatures. Pat herself was a miniaturist. They were both very active participants in local, national, and international miniature organizations. And their story with miniatures really starts in 1979. That's when they moved to Tucson. They had lived in many places. And in 1979, when they moved to Tucson, Pat sort of rediscovered a little shoebox that she had had since she was a little girl of miniatures, dollhouse furniture and little handmade dollhouse dolls that her mother had made for her with these little darling stitched faces on them. And she had kept that little shoebox of dollhouse miniatures all throughout her adulthood, and that had moved with her to various homes. And in 1979, her children were older, and Pat just sort of thought, you know what, I'm going to get a dollhouse just like the one I had when I was a little girl, so I can put these on display. And when Pat was 8 years old, this was in the early 1930s, she'd gotten a wooden Schoenhut dollhouse. And so Pat went on a search to find one identical or very similar to it. And it opened the floodgate. That dollhouse really started it all. That, of course, when you get a dollhouse, you discover that you need much more. You need more accessories. She needed, you know, cups and plates for the cupboards. And so what's remarkable is in the 1980s, there was a huge resurgence in dollhouse miniature popularity in particular, just like there is right now. Miniatures are having a moment, and they were really having a moment in the 80s. And Pat just dove headfirst into the miniature world and became very active, got to know miniaturists, became a collector. And then in the early 2000s, she and Walter realized that they wanted to share their collection with the world, and they started laying that groundwork for the nonprofit foundation, which would oversee what would eventually become the Mini Time Machine Museum of Miniatures. And so we opened in 2009. Our mission is to preserve and advance the art of miniatures, and we're always seeking to educate, celebrate, and inspire that next generation of miniature artisans. So, and I will say that the name, which is a mouthful, the Mini Time Machine Museum of Miniatures, Pat actually had a separate building on her property, which she called the Mini Time Machine. And that name really references, as Amanda was mentioning earlier, that idea that you can be transported to different lands and different times, both real and imagined, through the art of miniatures. So that's the origin of that name as well.
Now, we have an opportunity at the SAAA office. We got a lot of phone calls, as well as our partner Visit Tucson, who is sponsoring this show today. They always ask this question, you know, what else is there besides the dollhouses, okay? Because I don't know, somehow when you say miniature, people think of dollhouses first. They also think it's only for girls. And I have to tell you, I've had a lot of feedback coming back to me about that the boys like the Mini Time Machine Miniature Museum as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I do think that we have, you know, folks come having that impression that we're simply a dollhouse museum. And we do have many antique and contemporary dollhouses. But no, you're right. It's so much more. And I think that, number one, I think a lot of, you know, there's this, you know, sort of misconception that the husbands are really dragged along, you know, but then they end up really enjoying the the woodworking, the craftsmanship. You know, when you make something in full scale, a chair, for example, the quality woodwork that goes into that. Now try doing it, you know, in a 1-inch scale, you know, and it's this, it's more work, and it's incredibly beautiful. So, and beyond that, we do have a lot more than dollhouses. And that's one thing that we're always trying to do, is really show the diversity of small scale artisans. So a great example would be the exhibit that just recently left, our David Corin's exhibit of Broadway set models, and showing how the miniature set models are used in Broadway. And we had Hamilton and Beetlejuice set models at the museum. And as we were sort of teasing a little bit earlier, the Harryhausen exhibit, which will be opening up later in the year, that shows how scale can be used with special effects for film. So we'll have the miniature models for that. And, there's just a lot of ways that we like to show that scale can be used in art. So beyond just a dollhouse.
Well, that's perfect. And I'm glad you brought up the newest exhibit coming, because wonderful movies, mythical movies, came out around that time. That's going to be a super exhibit. Well, we're going to be back. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and we have the ladies of the Miniature Museum here today until 8 o'clock, and we're learning all kinds of new things. We're going to talk a little bit more about their marketing programs and their educational programs when we come back.
The Morning Voice will be right back. You can follow along Facebook Live or YouTube. 1030 The Voice is the name of the channel. We'll see you there. You can see your voice.
Well, good morning. We're back. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and we're with the lovely ladies from the Mini Time Machine of Miniatures. And we're going to talk this break about the educational programs and some of the marketing programs that are taking place. You know, outreach is extremely important for all nonprofits. And so Jamali, let's talk a little bit about the educational programs that are going on at the Miniature, both the ones that are inside and the ones that are kind of outside of the actual museum. Okay, Jamali, you can't hear us, I think. So we're working on that. Just a minute. Okay, can you hear me now, Jamali? No, still not there, Matt. So stand by, just a minute. Okay, we're gonna get Jamali back on the air here. We're gonna find out what's going on. But Mini Time Machine has a lot of new educational programming. So Jamali, how are you? Good morning.
I'm good.
Good. You're back. Okay, great. Sorry about that. You know, as I mentioned, this is the first time we've been really live instead of having a point of camera at the computer. So I appreciate your patience. So educational programming is very important to any nonprofit, and obviously very important to the Mini Time Machine. Can you tell us a little bit about your educational programs?
Absolutely. So I think the one that's coming up, like maybe in 2 weeks, is our summer camp.
Yes.
We run that for 4 weeks, from July 7th through August 1st. And we divvy it up like beginner and advanced sessions. So we usually invite kids that are between 8 and 14 to just join us and do our like miniature STEAM camps. So we just try to integrate a bit of STEM with miniature making, which is really fun. So the kids will be learning about scale and creating their own room boxes. And we usually just have them plan and draw first before they let their creations take over.
Yeah, I think tell us a little bit about the room box. I mean, I think that is probably something very unique to the Mini Time Machine, especially when you come in and have these kids doing that. Tell us a little more about that process.
Yeah. So essentially we'll have, I'm going to say it's like 12 by 17 boards cut out for them. So they'll essentially have like a floor, two side walls, and a backing, and that'll be their room box. So they'll make a little bakery. You know, we're kind of excited for them to make really tiny treats. So we'll be working in like 1 to 12 scale, which essentially is like 1 inch in miniature is equal to like a foot in real life. So they'll be scaling down their treats and making tiny signage and creating their own menus or creating little potion bottles and furniture to go along with their rooms.
Yeah, I think if my wife hears about it, she'll probably want to join you. She has made little knickknacks. Her specialty seems to be little things that you can eat, you know. And we've all seen the cookbooks where, you know, you build these things out of different kinds of confectionery, sugar, and, you know, things that – but it was all about being edible. So Christmas time, I don't see her much. She's in the kitchen doing all kinds of things. And then she was kind of a knick-knack kind of person when I was dating her. And I think her entire room was full of, you know, all kinds of materials that, you know, you would probably get at Michael's. You know, I shopped, I got to understand what Michael's was all about, you know, following her around. And then when my daughter was born, same thing happened. You know, she started doing a lot. Ooh, that was interesting. Amanda, all these things are created and revolve back to the mission statement, of the Mini Time Machine. Of miniatures, and you get a chance to tell everybody about it.
Yes, and I'm actually going to do a plug-in real quick, because if your wife is interested in making mini foods, then she should definitely come to our Minis for All, which is a virtual session, and next month we'll be making mini hot dogs and hamburgers.
All right.
which is cool, and it's fun because we actually see a lot of out-of-state miniatures attending those, which is really cool. But also we have our minis and sips, which this next one in August is not food, but in October we'll be making a mini feast.
We will be.
So yeah. Little turkey, little, I don't know, green beans, cranberry sauce. Yeah.
And I don't know if, I don't know if you can see this, but, you know, but this is, this is my favorite. Obviously it's, you know, strawberries are on the top and chocolate. And I mean, and that's a favorite. That's definitely a favorite. So, you know, maybe someday she'll write her own cookbook. You know, that would be kind of fun. Now, what's some other things that are going on? Cause you know, you have so much going on and media is tough these days. It's very expensive. But it would seem that you guys now have found your niche on how you like to let people know what's going on. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Well, I think we have a really cool platform. Obviously, you know, we're the only one not the only one with miniatures in this state, but we're the only miniature specific museum in this state. So we obviously have a really cool platform. We have everything you can think of. Oh my gosh, it's Christmas. What can we promote? You know, we have a whole Christmas village in the floor. I mean, it just makes my job super easy and super fun to be able to just go out there and video or take footage or make things come alive to tell people about the museum. So social media is obviously an easy avenue for us. And that's probably our biggest platform that we utilize to get the word out there about things. But our website, print, all the normal things that everybody else uses. And yeah, my job is just really fun. They give me all the tools I need to just go wild with my imagination, I guess.
Well, that's cool. How about any personal appearances from some of the artists? Have you had those over the years?
Oh, yeah. And we actually have a couple coming up. Jorge is opening we're hosting an exhibit for Jorge here. And that will be showcasing the miniature signage that he creates from around the Tucson and Nogales area. So we'll have an opening reception for him, and that's July 10th, correct me if I'm wrong, that is for members only. So if you're not a member and you don't want to miss out, please check out our website or give us a call and we'll let everybody know how to go about doing that. But we'll also be hosting some artist talks and meet and greets in the gallery with him as well, and virtually for those who can't attend in person. And then I'll let Emily talk a little bit more about our opening reception for our Harryhausen exhibit, but that's a really fun one.
So yeah, Emily, I appreciate you really being here. You and I have done many things over the years, but this new exhibit has got to be creating a lot of excitement. coming up.
Yeah, so it is nice. So and so we're of course speaking about Ray Harryhausen miniature models of the silver screen. That's going to open September 30th and it's going to run through May 3rd of next year. And it is huge. It's huge for a miniature museum to get Ray Harryhausen's work here. We partnered with the Ray and Diana Harryhausen Foundation in Edinburgh, Scotland. All of these pieces are coming from the foundation in Scotland. And we are going to showcase the miniature armatured models of his most iconic films. So that's Jason and the Argonauts, Clash of the Titans, Seventh Voyage of Sinbad. And to answer your question, yes, we will have the Kraken. We will have Medusa and Bubo, the mechanical owl, the Hydra, the skeletons. We're going to have it all, Tom. We're going to have it all.
As, the mechanic, the owl still is around and still exists?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, actually. And so really, and it's kind of funny you say that because the foundation has just thousands and thousands of archival pieces. Because bless his heart, Ray Harryhausen kept everything. And also the way that those armatured models work, duplicates were made of many of them. So you had duplicates with different sizes for different shots. And so there are many of each. So we're actually going to have a couple of the mechanical owls in different scales that were used in different scenes of the film. So yeah. We'll also have a lot of his archival photographs and sketches and storyboards, and it's going to be a really, really nice exhibition.
It seems a while back there was a video special about Ray and all the things that he did, and obviously a lot of scenes over the years with the skeletons. Of course, the skeleton fight is probably the most famous, but certainly dinosaurs were all developed by him. And do you remember seeing that video? Was it 60 Minutes or was it some other special?
There have been so many books and specials written about him. Okay. It's really incredible. And it's been a nice resource for me as I learned to know the history of his work. And I will say that the most valuable resource to me right now has actually been the book, which was written by Vanessa Harryhausen. And she wrote the book, Ray Harryhausen, Titan of Cinema. And she wrote that in partnership with the National Galleries of Scotland. And we are going to be carrying her book in the store. And Vanessa Harryhausen herself, Ray's daughter and a trustee of the foundation, will be coming to Tucson. She will be at the opening reception, and she'll be doing a book signing. We're also going to be working with the Loft to have a special screening and a Q&A with her. of Jason and the Argonauts.
I'll be there. I'll be when you. You
have good. To,
When's the date? Do you know the date?
Yes, absolutely. So the opening reception is Friday, October 3rd, and tickets are selling fast. If you want to come to that, and then the screening will be the very next day, Saturday, October 4th. That'll be at the Loft Cinema at 2 p.m. And those tickets are not on sale yet, but they should be available through the Loft starting in August.
Fantastic. We have one more segment left, and this is The Morning Voice, and we're here with the ladies from the Tucson. Well, I would say it's really, we don't put the word Tucson in front of it, but it's the only miniature museum in probably the Arizona. Is that correct? Or maybe even the Southwest?
Yep, the only one that specifically showcases miniatures, yes. But the Phoenix Art Museum does have some that are truly outstanding, and there are some in other collections, but we specifically,
which is good, and if you're not co-promoting, I hope you will soon, because I think it's important to say when people go and travel, they go to the zoos and they go to the aquariums and they go to things that are in pretty much every major market, but everyone's completely different and completely unique, especially the collections from your founder, because they were, you know, kind of one of a kind. Well, we'll be right back. This is The Morning Voice on KVUI, 10:30 a.m., the trusted local news and talk, and we'll turn it back over to Matt, and we'll see you in just a few minutes. Well, we're back for our final segment, but not for the entire show, because we'll be back at 8 o'clock with a really special show on the Pharmacy Museum. I don't know if you were aware of it, but
knew about that, Tom.
The University of Air, they have a lot of miniature bottles there, guys.
medicine. Like the kind you get on the airplane or what?
No. Not that kind of medicine. But
hey, can I ask a question of your guests?
Yes, go ahead.
So about a year or two ago, some sort of an influencer came and did a video at the Mini Time Museum, and you guys got like a million views. What kind of a reverb effect did you all get out of that one video?
Emily?
Do you remember?
Go ahead, Emily.
I don't know. Do you remember the video?
I don't remember.
I feel like we get influencers all the time. What?
Well, I don't remember what it was, but I do remember seeing it, and I thought, well, what good publicity if somebody can walk in the door of your business and of your museum, your great museum, and all of a sudden generate 1 million plus views. And if I can find it, I'll see if I can give it to Tom, send it over to Tom later.
That would be great.
Please do, because we need them to come back again.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely. 1 million views. I mean, come on now. Well, I wanted to let you all know before we go the thank you, but I'm going to be at this eat and greet tonight at the Casa del Rio, so I just wanted to share that with Matt and the rest of the listening audience, and I think we're going to have some of my fellow hosts there. Hopefully, Grant, I'm sure Grant will be there for sure, but on Monday, we have Lydia Aranda, and she's here. Ted Maxwell on Tuesday. Wednesday, Grant Kruger. I'm on your Thursday guy, and then Dr. Ackerley. We all have different topics that we talk about, but it's all about the newsmakers and the community leaders here in Tucson. And we're so thankful to Dr. Ackerley, who is really the brains behind this show, and then, of course, Patty from Bustos Media, who's put us on for 2 hours. Instead of 1 hour from our original show. So gives us an opportunity to talk a lot about different subjects. I get a chance to talk up to our SAAA members and other tourism locations. And as a matter of fact, we just visited a very popular family entertainment center a couple of days ago. One of the parts of my job is I get to check out the new attraction, so that was good. They wouldn't let me bounce because they were afraid I was going to fall, but, I saw a lot of little kiddies do that. So those were the days when I could bounce up and down, and actually when I fell, I would bounce right back up again. So those days are kind of gone. You guys have been great. We've had Amanda and Emily and Jamala on here for almost an hour now, and they've been talking about the Mini Time Machine. We just have one last invite for everybody to come, and I'm going to turn that over to the marketing person.
Yeah, I also wanted to go over some of our summer deals that we have going on.
Real quickly, yes.
Yes, we have mini mornings here at the Time Machine, weekdays from 9 to 11, half off. So if anybody wants to take advantage of that,
right.
And you all can kind of get the museum to yourself because it's bright and early. And then also we're a part of Blue Star Museums, which offers discounts for military families, which is also really amazing with the Air Force Base right here. So.
Oh, and don't forget about the Tucson Attractions Passport, because it's the only savings book around. And we're actually starting in July, starting on the brand new one, as well as a new brochure, new picture. So you guys get your new pictures. And, of course, this is one of the other opportunities where we get to talk about the attractions. Thank you again, guys, for coming. You can see yourself probably as many times as you want on Facebook Live, because it'll be there for a while. We also, again, as I mentioned before we started the show, we're going to start sharing this information on multiple websites, and we're going to actually send you a copy of it so you get a chance to do whatever you like to do with it. Hopefully, we're going to get that special on the Mini Time Machine from an influencer, because we love to put that on our podcast as well. So, it's been a pleasure to have you guys. I can't wait to tell my wife about the virtual cooking thing that's going on with the miniatures, and she'll share her special recipes with you guys as well. So have a nice day back at the museum, and thank you very much for joining us today on the Morning Voice. Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow, and he has a great show. He talks about a lot of things that go on at the U of A. So I want to thank you for listening, and don't go anywhere, because at 8 o'clock, Heather Ingram will be here, and she is from a very special museum,
Coit Museum of Pharmacy.
Yes, it is, and Health Services. Okay, so we'll be right back with our 8 o'clock hour. And again, thank you all. Have a good day here at the Mini Time Machine of Miniatures.
We'll be right back.
Well, good morning, and we're back. My name is Tom Moulton. I'm your host for every Thursday. I talk about tourism. I talk about attractions and talk about what's new out there for the families to go and visit and have, you know, some really special experiences. And today we're going to talk about the name has changed over the years a little bit, but, you know, it's a see if I pronounce this correctly, the Coit Museum of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. Now, it's a mouthful, but get your microphone closer to you so we can hear you. Okay. There we go. We'll turn your volume up. All right. Now so good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I have Heather Ingram here. She's the director of the museum, and she and I have been communicating it's been about 6 months or so, about, can you get my information correct? You know, and I think I finally got it correct. But I said, you know what? Let's bring Heather onto our radio show and now podcast on Facebook. And you can see us, right, Matt, on Facebook. Where do they go to find me?
Thanks, Tom. 10:30. Thanks for the feed set up there. 10:30 The Voice is our Facebook page. We're also on YouTube. 10:30 The Voice is that YouTube page. So
we are now on
YouTube, Facebook, yeah.
We're not on YouTube.
We're working on holograms above the station building. It's going to happen one of these days. We'll just have a giant hologram over Tucson with the morning voice.
But you,
that's
Greg,
our next step.
You and Greg keep up the good work, so Heather, you didn't know you were going to be a star today, Facebook, but we're now on YouTube. Millions of people are listening to this show right now. Well, maybe 1,000. But we're really happy that you're here to set me straight about what's going on at the Coit Museum of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. But we have this little thing we do before each show, and with our co-host, Tim Bimmerstedt. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tommy.
All right, you're up again.
Good morning. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
Go ahead and tell us about your favorite events going on.
Well, Discovery Night at Children's Museum Tucson. If you visit Children's Museum Tucson, you get a free night of science, art. It includes story times and pop-up science experiments every Thursday tonight.
Tonight?
From 5 to 7.
How timely, Tim.
I know. Just a great way to get out of the heat, and what a great facility they have down there.
An old Carnegie library, Carnegie Mellon Library, has been transformed into a children's museum, and it is a great place. It's literally a block away from the SAAA offices downtown. What else is going on at Tucson?
Old Tucson, a summer mainstay, is back. Saguaro Sunset Night Market, June 28th, so this Saturday, 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Just a fantastic night of eclectic arts, crafts, food vendors. What a great way to spend your evening, strolling along the historic Main Street and Town Square. Tom, you and I have done that many times.
Yes, we've strolled the streets many times there, where Kirk Douglas, my favorite actor, was there on OK Corral. What's going on at Tohono O'Toole?
Tohono O'Toole has what they call more chillin'. It's live music, drinks, tasty eats, family fun, free admission Fridays and Saturdays from 6 to 9. And gates open at 5:30 now through August 30th. So another great free event. And by the way, at Old Tucson, admission and parking are free. And so what a great way to go out and enjoy the cooler temperatures in Tucson Mountain Park.
As Steve Ochoa says, that's the best promotion ever. Free.
Yeah, free. Free works. So all these events are free. And so you've got your whole weekend agenda planned out for you.
Yeah, I noticed that. That wasn't necessarily the theme, having all these free events going on. But, you know, it's summertime. For sure, right. And we're talking, you know, with Heather, and we're live, Timmy, on YouTube now. Did you hear that from Matt?
I did. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, Matt, what's the way to find us on YouTube?
We're just gonna, 10:30 The Voice is the YouTube channel. Yes.
Well, that makes sense. Absolutely. I got a big sign here to remind me where I am every Thursday. Trusted okay. local news and talk
That's
here.
That's right, Tom.
Now, Matt's in the background there, and sometimes he makes me do things that I should do that I don't want to do, but that's okay. We have
You're
a lot
doing
of
great,
fun.
Tom.
We have a lot of fun.
Great
We're going to learn a lot more here if we finally get going here, Heather. And you know there's a story, of course, of why it's called the Coit Museum, and we're going to get into that. But let's talk a little bit initially, Heather, because I think over the years there's been other directors. There's been renovations, and mm-hmm. there's been, and you're part of the University of Arizona, and of course mm-hmm. The pharmacy school and health sciences is huge amount of new pharmacists. You know, you see them everywhere. I mean, you know, Walgreens helping out, and you know, there's a lot of practicality to what they do. And then a lot of them, I would think there's a lot of them that stick around here in Tucson because they enjoy this wonderful 100-degree heat, but they're working inside, so that's okay. So the museum is open, and Heather, tell us a little bit about kind of a little bit of background, how you found your way to be the director of the, we'll shorten it up a little bit, the Pharmacy and Health Services Museum.
Sure. So I began that position in late October of last year, and my background actually is in museums, museum education specifically.
Oh, great.
So most of my career has been in museums, has been at the State Museum and the Historical Society, although I have worked briefly at the U of A Museum of Art and the Center for Creative Photography. So I joke that if I were to leave here, I would go and have to work at an aquarium or something, because every time I work at a museum, it's a different type of museum. So
I had no idea you worked with Darlene over there.
Yes.
My best buddy, Darlene Dozaraga.
Yes.
And Patrick.
Yes, Patrick.
The current director. Yes. He's been there. Well, he's been a director for probably a decade. The official State of Arizona archaeologist.
Yes.
Is what Patrick is.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And, you know, and Darlene's an archaeologist too, and mm-hmm. she's a beautiful marketing director out there as well. And so you've kept it in the U of A family then.
I have. I actually attended the university, and I got my bachelor's in cultural anthropology, which is how I ended up at the State Museum. And then I went back and got my master's in art history, focusing on museums. And then went from place to place, and then eventually detoured for a little while and worked for 5 years at Bio5 Institute, which is a multidisciplinary research institute.
Absolutely.
Right next
I'm
door.
Very, very familiar with mm-hmm. Bio5 and some of the leaders that were there. I think I don't know if Pima County funded them or not, but I was kind of in charge of the economic development funding. And we had a lot of discussions, and you know, they were a lot of our economic development meetings, especially with Bruce Wright from the U of A. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember Bruce, but he was over at the Tech Park.
Oh, okay.
You know, but you're part of the U of A family.
I am.
And you're running this wonderful museum that Matt didn't know anything about.
Didn't know a thing about it. This is This is so enlightening.
So you got one new customer right here at least, okay? We can count.
That's great.
We can count. I'll probably call you and ask you for free tickets, but, you know, the admission price is worth on you, right?
I have my Southern Arizona passport, Tom.
Hey, so we're on the
Southern
free.
Arizona attractions passport.
That, well,
and it's free.
And it's free. It's, she knows.
You can bring it, but it's not going to do you any good.
Well, it gives him proof that he was there. And I always ask him, what attractions have you gone to today? But, you know, so you found your way, you know, last year.
Yes.
With a wonderful background with Arizona State Museum. And did you say the Tucson Museum of Art,
the
too?
The Historical Society.
The U of A Museum of Art. Okay. You know, so you know all the players. You know how to navigate. Well, mostly navigate.
Mostly.
It changed a little bit after Bobby left and, you know, their new guy came in. But you've probably been through a few of the presidents there at the U of A over your
career. I have been.
They all have their own vision. Mm-hmm. The good thing is U of A is a big, huge part of our economic development, you know, here. And of course, the folks that are coming out of there, the engineers, you know, we had always have a shortage of engineers, so they're doing a great job. And Dr. Ackerley is from the Eller School, who's the guy that kind of started this programming up about a year and a half ago. So, did you know much about the pharmacy museum before you took when you became in charge?
Sort of.
Okay. Well, so, that's more than Matt.
When I was at Bio5, I co-directed a program called Keep Engaging Youth in Science Keys, which is a high school summer intensive research program.
Yes.
And we co-directed it with Marty Lindsay, who was at the Southwest Environmental Health Sciences Center, which is located in the pharmacy building. And I had a background in museums. And so we would often meet in her space. And to get there, I would have to pass through some of the older displays that were there located in the Skaggs building. So I knew about I didn't really know that it was formally a museum. I did know that they had these collections and that they were on each floor, but I didn't know too much about it. So then it was complete happenstance that I found out about the job, and I didn't know that they had a new space.
Yes.
So I was surprised to find out that they had expanded, but that had happened during the pandemic. So I think that really ran beneath the radar.
So hold that thought.
Yes.
We're going to go to our first break, and we'll be back to learn more about the Coit Museum of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. So I had it right the first time. We'll be right back. This is Tom Moulton. I'm your host of The Morning Voice on 1030 AM KVOI.
And once again, you can follow along with us where you are now on AM radio. You can also go to Facebook. 1030 The Voice is our Facebook page, or YouTube. You can watch there. Now back to Tom.
Well, welcome back. This is The Morning Voice. I'm your host, Tom Moulton, from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And I have one of our important members here because it's something that, you know, you may not know about, okay? So we're unleashing the secret about the Coit Museum of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. And I, with all respect, you know, we're here to help, okay? And we want to let people know about this wonderful museum. And we're going to talk a little bit this segment about what is the museum. And you had mentioned at before the first break that you were working at a lot of the other U of A, some attractions, actually two of them. And, but you got to know the folks in the pharmacy area. And you wandered through this building and you didn't really know there was a museum. And here you are, the director of the museum. And they did a lot of work, you mentioned, during the COVID to get this thing. Important to, you know, I think, especially for the U of A, to have these outreach centers is what we used to call them, okay? Mm-hmm. And if the U of A is not calling them, you need to start calling them that, because you invite people from all over the world to see these museums. And and the connection with the University of Arizona and the programs, the amount of research that's going on at the U of A, as well as the folks that are graduating and beginning a career as a pharmacist or some of the other health services careers. And I see them all the time. I have a personal friend that graduated. My neighbor was one of the teachers at the pharmacy school. And so it's we have a small community here, and everybody kind of knows everybody. But we're going to talk a little bit through Heather Ingram, who is the director for about how many months now was it, Heather?
9 months, maybe.
Nine months, okay. And tell us a little bit, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we have not a lot of time, but, you know, we have 7-8 minutes for you to talk a little bit and kind of give us an idea of that the museum, you know, this is a legitimate museum that we want you to go to.
Mm-hmm. It's real.
It's a real thing.
So as I was saying, we did have an expansion that was begun during the pandemic, and we only were able to do that because of a gracious donation from Arkin Coit, which is why we have the name. Before, we were the History of Pharmacy Museum, and now we're the Coit Museum of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. And he generously donated $2 million towards the building of our facility. So it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. People are so surprised, even if they've been before and they've walked around, because we really have an amazing museum that existed before that. But this really gives you one space where you have everything together and you can see it. And it formally opened in 2022 and has been mostly closed to the public, but has been open for short periods of time. You mentioned at the beginning that we've been through a couple of directors, and I think a lot of that had to do with the pandemic and the challenges of
that.
But we are now open Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 9 to 3. And in our collections in that space, a lot of people don't know, but there actually was a pharmacy on Main Street of Disneyland from 1955 to 1970. Created by the Upjohn Pharmaceutical Company, and it was a turn-of-the-century pharmacy with actual pharmacists that worked in it, and they distributed Unicap vitamins. And so we have a beautiful collection that we've received that was donated to the California Institute of Technology, and then they later deaccessioned it, and it ended up here at the U of A.
Yeah, so I noticed that in my research that it mentions the Disneyland's Upjohn Pharmacy Collection, and I'm trying to remember what. Tell me the years again that it was open.
1955 to 1970.
Okay, so I was born in 1952, so I know my parents took me there,
mm-hmm.
And you know, it was just one of the things about Disney. They weren't facades.
Right.
On Main Street, you actually could go into the store, and mm-hmm. So one year I didn't go to the pharmacy, but I did go to the barbershop.
Oh, okay.
And my wife kept telling me, "You need a haircut. You need a haircut." So here we are in Disney World, and I got a haircut there, and there was no waiting, and they were real. I mean, these guys were genuine barbers that mm-hmm. got hired by the Disney organization, and of course, I'm sure if I was a barber and I told people, "Yeah, I'm a barber at Disney World." "Really?" "And what do you do there?" And you go, "I cut hair." That's what I do. So I can imagine those pharmacists mm-hmm. were pretty special people.
Yes, they didn't prescribe or dispense any medications, but they did tell people about Upjohn Pharmaceutical Company, and I'm sure that they reached millions of people, and it was a great advertising
and it's there at your museum now.
It's there. It's absolutely gorgeous. We also have a old-time drugstore in the end space, and I'm in the middle of converting the center of it into a replica of an early 20th century soda fountain.
Oh.
And so,
operating soda fountain?
It won't be an operating soda fountain.
Why not?
I know. Well, it's a museum.
That's the next step, though. That is a great idea. I was thinking the same thing. If you just had that, that would just tie the whole thing together.
I know.
In the 50s, S.S. Kresge, chocolate, right? Chocolate soda, mm-hmm. right? And all it was soda water and chocolate.
Right.
And where are you going to get that now? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, can a chocolate soda, you know? And I remember sitting there with my mother, and she had her grilled cheese sandwich, right? And happy memories of those old soda fountains, right. You know, similar, I guess, Back to the Future. You remember there was a lot of it took place at the old... But so when you develop it now and you start building it, mm-hmm. just make sure that with just the turn of the knob and another donation, you can make this live and have a little snack bar there in the museum.
That's the problem with museums. We usually don't allow food in the museum or drink. That's usually you just are allowed to bring like a covered bottle of water. So... But everything is behind glass, so I have been thinking about...
Well, listen, you're the director. You make the rules, right?
Right. No? That's true.
But, yeah, so that's really neat. And there's some other really wonderful exhibits that, you know, a lot of people probably, you know, didn't think there was remedies to some of the, you know, the ailments.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily there were for diseases, but ailments, whether it be athlete's foot or... You know, itching for in mosquito bites, or there was some kind of some formula that somebody had put together of whatever the ingredients were from plants or whatever, and you have a lot of those on exhibit.
We do. We have amazing things on exhibits of things that you probably never want to ingest, but at the time they thought that they were perfectly safe. A popular item is our asthma gum with belladonna in it. So
I have asthma, so should I try that, or does it work?
I'm sorry, it's actually asthma cigarettes. Oh, it's actually worse.
asthma cigarettes.
It's actually worse.
I don't think I'd be here across from you right now if I smoked cigarettes.
Everybody was doing the best with the knowledge that they had at that time, you know, but information and an understanding about what is safe to take has changed.
Yeah,
so,
occasionally you go to Walgreens and you do see some of these products,
mm-hmm.
So that is our cue.
Okay.
I bet you a lot of the miracle cures involved opium or some other illicit substance, too.
Strychnine was common, mercury, lead.
Coke.
Cocaine.
Coke, remember?
Opium, heroin.
It was a soda, but...
It's a hip little museum
there. Oh, absolutely.
Yes, we have heroin bottles. We have opium. Of course, not with the drugs inside.
Well, Tombstone, the movie, really emphasized the opium, you know, mm-hmm. Well, we'll be right back. Yeah, this is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and we're live here on 10:30 a.m., the trusted local news and voice.
We'll hear more from the Coit Museum on pharmacy coming up right after the news. We're putting you in the driver's seat. Watch, listen, Facebook 10:30 The Voice, YouTube 10:30 The Voice, or on your trusty AM radio, and also stream online at kvoi.com.
And Matt, you forgot about YouTube.
Oh, if I didn't say it, I apologize. Oh, you got me there.
Hey,
I'm just fascinated with these belladonna cigarettes and strychnine health cures and the secret ingredient of narcotics and all these things at the museum. And you need to tell us where the museum is, because I've got to get over there.
Well, we're going to do that. But, you know, there's one thing I just discovered during the break, Matt, that when you go there and you enjoy the museum, that you get to take a bottle home with its own label.
Okay.
Now, it's a secret what's inside it. I think it's just air, right?
It's Dr. oxygen. Tom Moulton's miracle cure.
That's right, we'll absolutely. Hey, let me tell you
Tim Vimmerstedt's magical, you know, cure-all.
When I was in Colorado, I went up to this mountain, and about halfway up, we literally had, we ran out of oxygen as far as my asthma kicked in. And all these people, on the train as we were going up the mountain had this aerosol can of oxygen. So I go over to one of them because I didn't know I had to buy oxygen, come on. And they gave me a squirt, and boy, I perked right back up again. So, you bought oxygen. And I went in there and I looked on the label and I thought, well, this is probably 100% oxygen, right? It was 21% oxygen.
Well, the 100% might be a little bit of a problem with sparks.
They just sucked the air out of the and put it in the aerosol can, and they sold it for $10.
So I'm dying to go to this place. Where can I find this museum? I'm dying to go here.
You know, Matt, you're going to have to hold that excitement down just for a few moments. No, let me tell everybody who we're here with first again. So we're here with the director of the Coit Museum of Pharmacy and Health Sciences, and it's a museum that's been around for actually a long time.
Next year will be 60 years.
Yeah, 1966, I think, mm-hmm. Mr. AI told me. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole history about the beginnings of the museum, and we don't have time to talk about that, during the break, Matt, I asked Heather, I said, so when you go into the museum, it's probably more than just seeing these old medicine jars, and there's actually live people in there to talk about the museum.
Right. We have most of our greeters who are there at the front desk are retired U of A College of Pharmacy faculty. We have a couple of pharmacy students who work at our front desk. We have retired pharmacists. We have someone who came from a pharmaceutical company. So they are just amazing. Every tour that you get is different. They know so much. I'm still learning. I bow to their expertise. They just really bring a lot to the story. So.
Now, probably a lot of people think that Walgreens invented the drugstore, but years and years ago, it wasn't called a drugstore.
No, they used to be called apothecaries.
And there's a lot of historical shows that are on the air. Mm-hmm. And there was this one filmed in Scotland where they went back in time. Mm-hmm. And she was a doctor. And then,
Outlander.
Yes, very good. they're not a sponsor, but...
No.
It wasn't me, doctor. It was the guest. So. But anyway, it was... you learned a lot about, there were symptom relief. Mm-hmm. There was cures. And there was not necessarily an accredited trained individual behind the counter, but these folks were not only currently practicing, but probably they were trained by a family member.
Right.
So it was kind of a family kind of profession.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes not family. They were other people who were interested, who apprenticed with them. But definitely, they learned through working.
Right. Only if they knew to wash their hands first. But so you go into the museum, and here we go, Matt. Where exactly do we find the museum?
So we are located on the University of Arizona campus, for people who are familiar with the university, what we call the North Campus, which is on the north side of Speedway. And so we're actually located near Banner Hospital.
Okay, so you're on you normally acquaint the U of A being on the other side.
Right.
But you are really on the other side.
Right.
And there's parking, it seems like there's parking garages.
There are parking garages. There, yeah. The closest one would probably be the old garage that they used to use before they expanded the hospital more and more north. Okay. And that's just off of Campbell. I think it's 1501 Campbell. And we have maps on our website, and I have updated things because I even tried, last week I said to myself, let me see what happens when I type in Coit Museum, and everything was wrong, but now the address is right and the name is at right and so the phone number is right.
It looks like it's at the College of Nursing, and it looks like it's right off of Mabel Street between Warren and Martin.
Yes, yes. So if
Thank you, Matt.
Yes, thank you. The easiest way to get to us would actually be to take Campbell and then head north on Cherry. And then Cherry, when you see Drachman Street, you take a right. And Drachman ends, and right where it ends, there's a little turnaround right there, and then we're just right there. So yeah.
So there's a College of Nursing and a College of Pharmacy. The Pharmacy Museum is actually in the building of the College of Nursing, just to...
No, it's actually...
Do I have it wrong?
No, it's called Skaggs. It's a pharmaceutical research building.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's right next door to the College of Nursing, so the maps it can be a little confusing, but they're actually... separate buildings.
Now, has the U of A given you a sign outside so people know when they hit the building your museum's there? I'm hoping.
I've been working on that.
Okay,
so
all right.
We do have the space where our building is. It's a white extension on to the Skaggs building, and we have a giant sign advertising it, but it's silver on white, so it's not like, hey, look at us, we're over here. But my hope is one day I'm going to actually commission to have a bright mural there, so it'll bring your eye right to it.
You need to get one of those old neon Rexall signs, you know. I mean, right? Yeah,
I know,
because it's like having a barber pole, right?
Exactly.
You know, you instantly know there's a barber shop there with the old there is a neon sign machine here, attraction. So we should put you in touch with them, because they may be able to locate one for
that's
you.
That's true. The and sign, Ignite sign.
That's right. And
museum.
I don't, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Called Jude. Yep.
Yeah. It's a beautiful
there was
place.
A plug for you, Ignite.
Ignite. Yes. And I'm sure there's one around there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who owns Rexall. You know, it was probably, it was a chain, and it was probably bought out by Walgreens or one of those before CVS Pharmacy. But it's, when you go in and you meet with the volunteers, now, do you have them in lab coats, or do you have them like they're themed within the museum?
No, that would be really darling, but they volunteer, so we let them pretty much wear whatever they want.
Well,
but
I think
a lot of times they wear like U of A polos, and we have a polo for Coit Museum, so if they want to wear it, they can. But
now, listen, I had a trade show with the Flandrau, and Nick showed up in a lab coat. So all you have to do is, provide them the right size, and I bet you
they would
wear them. You know, because you're air conditioned.
Mm-hmm, we are,
and so you don't have to worry about that. So you should just try an experiment to see if they would put it on.
Just sit it on the
just
chair,
just hang them up and everything.
See?
And they said, "Hey, would you like to put that on?" And I bet you. You know, that and the name tag, they would love you for the rest of their life, you know? So you got to give them a title, though, too.
And, I do want to plug that we're right across the street from us. There's a cafe with food and coffee and drinks and everything that's right on the campus. So you can make that, you could have lunch there, and then you could just walk right over to the museum.
And you can get a Coke.
But
it doesn't,
absolutely.
It's not the kind of Coke that you used to sell. So.
No, no. No, that would be a little bit more exciting of an experience, I think.
So and now you see all these compounding pharmacies, but that used to be how they did it back then, right? I mean, it was more of a compounding thing when it was the apothecary thing, right?
You did it on site. In fact, one of our volunteers is Tom Reed from Reed Pharmacy.
Okay.
He volunteers for us a couple of times a month, and he's out there getting the word out about the museum. He's a passionate supporter, so we're very lucky to have all these wonderful people who care about the place and want it to be the best it can be.
And it is tied to the college.
Yes.
And not the science, the College of Science, but a specific college
right.
for health services.
We're tied directly to the College of Pharmacy.
Yes.
And any person who's interested in being a student there gets to have a tour, and part of the tour includes walking through the museum. So
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's our virtual tour. We'll be right. We have one more segment coming up.
Okay.
I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and we're on we're in this little radio station called 1030, The Voice, KOI.com, KVOI.com. Hey, thank you. Got it. Mush mouth there. And we're also on YouTube and Facebook now. So we'll be right back. Well, we're back for the last segment with Heather Ingram. She is the director. We're just going to shorten it a little bit because we don't have a lot of time. Heather, is that okay?
Sure.
The UA Pharmacy Museum. And it was renovated during COVID, and it grew in square footage, I presume. And what do you think when you get in there, you know, 2-hour visit because you want to talk to the folks and everything, or is it more than that?
I would say if you can go in for any period of time you want. You could just zoom right through. We have self-guided materials if you want to do that. I know not everybody wants a guided tour, but you know, I'd say at least plan an hour to be in our interpretive space. If you want to go see some of the other spaces in the buildings, then you can request an extended tour ahead so that we can have a guide there who can take you through.
Oh, that's great. And of course, inside the University of Arizona, there's so many other attractions. And you had mentioned the Arizona State Museum and the U of A Museum of Art. And, you know, there's 21 recognized attractions at the U of A. U of A has been UA Attractions has been a sponsor of the SAAA for probably 5 or 6 years now. And a shout out to Nick, who's over there at Community Relations, who is our coordinator. You can actually probably spend 2 days going to the attractions within the U of A, you know, because, and they're all what, again, when we put this program together with the U of A, we talked with the colleges and the unique difference that the U of A has when they have an attraction associated with the college and their particular college, the College of Science. You know, and there's the research group now that's running the Arizona State University. What we hope will soon open because it's being the building's being completely renovated inside. But you know, and of course they have the Biosphere off campus, large, very popular attraction, but certainly a research institution as well. So. The University of Arizona has been very committed to these outreach centers because, like you said, it's a place where they can their students can intern, be part of the museum, and the outreach is just amazing. When you're considering going to the College of Science at the U of A, whether it be in astronomy or any of the other science, and they say, you know, we have this astronomy program that's world renowned, right? Or you go to the fine arts, which is not called fine arts anymore, but the Arizona Arts Group with all of their attractions with the film and the dance, and you know, the School of Dance is world renowned. As well. So that's just amazing collection of the University of Arizona attractions. And you know, and if you haven't gone to the Coit Museum, you got to go because it's something you probably don't see very much at the other universities, do you?
It's actually a very unusual museum, and we have one of the largest collections of its kind in the country. We have a unique collection of what's called show globes. You mentioned barber poles.
Yes.
These are like them.
And show globes, okay.
Yeah, and they're really beautiful. And then we even have a temporary exhibit happening this summer. It's open now. It opened on Monday, and it'll be open through the very 1st of August. So this is a great time. I invite you, Tom.
All right.
Well, I invite everyone who's listening and watching to come.
I need to come now. Amen. And I can't believe that with all this time you spent at the U of A that you and I have never met.
No.
You know, because we have mutual friends.
We do.
We talked about with Darlene over there at the Arizona State Museum.
And Heather, thanks for your great instructions to get there. So Speedway to Cherry, north on Cherry to Drachman, and where Drachman dead ends. That's basically you're looking at the museum. So
right.
It's easy to get there right off of Speedway. And yeah.
Now, make sure you GPS it to and see what they're telling people.
I have been, because they've been telling people the wrong thing. Well, so don't give up on us. Just give us a call. We'll get you there.
First time I came here, I used GPS, and 15 minutes later, late for the meeting, I finally stumbled on it. But now the GPS, Matt, takes you right to the front door.
Okay.
Unless you go to 44th, and that hole that they're digging there is now, what, 2 weeks old, three weeks old?
And counting. It's going to be a while.
Unbelievable. But, you know, I really appreciate you being here. Sure. Tell us your website, because that's where all the information
is. Oh, sure. Our website, sorry, I have to read it, is museum.pharmacy.arizona.edu. And we also have an Instagram that we just made live a couple of weeks ago. It's UA Coit Museum. So you can also learn and about fascinating things in our collections by going on to Instagram.
And while it's a long URL, you just put in Google.
If you just put Pharmacy Museum Tucson or Coit Museum, it'll all turn up for you.
UA Pharmacy Museum.
Yes.
It takes you right to your website.
Yes.
And hopefully the directions that we just talked about are spelled out on your website. I'm sure you're going to go back and make
sure. We have a map.
There's a map there. Well, send me the map and I'll put it on our website
too. Okay, great.
Because that's important. Well, we really thank you for being here. And
thank you.
Hopefully we turn this little hidden treasure into something that's well. And certainly if you're watching YouTube or on Facebook or listening on 10:30 a.m., you know much more about the Coit Museum and pharmacy and health services. And again, it's a mouthful. But the information is readily available, and we hope that you'll go and visit. Heather, she's there.
Ask for the Morning Voice discount.
Yes, free.
Yes, please do.
Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I'm going to see you tonight, you know, at the eat and greet at the Casa del Rio restaurant.
Casa del Rio.
5:30. We'll see you.
22nd Pantano.
We'll see you.